All right. You ever been in a situation where you sent the wrong message or someone maybe sent you the wrong message? Now, I was going to ask what's wrong with this picture, but I think I'll ask what's right about this picture. Can you see that? I think that the girl and the boy on the left there are sending someone the wrong message. What do you think? I think the guy in the middle there has no clue that his friend and that his girlfriend are a little sweet on each other. And so they're definitely sending the wrong message. And you know, that's easy to do. We can send, not necessarily in this sense, but we can send the wrong message sometimes by mistake. And sometimes we do that even in our spiritual life. Sometimes we'll have the best of intentions and we'll have all sincerity, but it won't come out that way. And so we want to look at that this morning. In the first century, some of the disciples were having a problem with this. If you will turn to James chapter 2, and we'll look at that. But they were sending the wrong message. By their words, they were sending one message, by the things that they were teaching, by the things that they were saying. But by their actions, they were conflicting. They weren't really sending that same message by the things that they were doing. And so, therefore, the Holy Spirit decided that he needed to straighten this out. And so, through the pen of Jesus' brother James, he did so. Here in James chapter 2, starting with verse 14, he says, "What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and is in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.'" And so the disciples here, I'm sure, had the very best of intentions. They wanted to send the message of Christianity, of sincerity, of love, of care, of concern, but by their actions, they weren't doing so because they were not, their actions were not consistent with their words. I think everyone probably knows this man. This is Charles Schulz. He is the creator, the writer of one of the most popular comic strips of all time. As you well know, Peanuts. And I grew up on Peanuts. We had a couple of volumes about that thick at the house when I was growing up. And so we always, my dad loved it, and he kind of passed that gene down to us as well. My brother, even more so than me. But, you know, while he was writing these little comic strips and making us smile and making us laugh, he was also, in a sense, preaching and teaching to us by using biblical concepts and examples. One of the very, and I tried to find it to put it up here on the screen, but I couldn't, but one of the oldest strips, an old black and white strip of the Peanuts, had Charlie Brown and Linus. And they're inside, and it's a very cold day, and how you know that is outside. You can see it spitting snow and rain and sleeting. And so it's a very, very cold day outside, and Linus and Charlie Brown are inside, and of course they're very warm, and they look out, and of course they see Snoopy out there, the dog. And Snoopy's out there, and he's just shaking, you know, bitter cold, and they see his food bowl is empty, his water is frozen over, and they engage in a conversation with one another. You know, it really is sad about Snoopy. It really is sad that Snoopy is so cold, and look, he doesn't have any food, he's hungry. And so they say, you know, we really should do something about that. And so they get dressed, and it shows them getting dressed and putting on their coats and everything, and they go outside and say, "Be of good cheer, Snoopy." And then they turn around and go back in. You know, Charles Schulz got that idea from the passage that we just read in James chapter 2, because, you know, really what good is it if we say to someone, "God bless you," but we don't give them the things that they truly need in this life? What good is it to say, "God bless you, may the Lord be with you," if we're not even willing to tell them about Jesus Christ? And so we've got to be willing and able to do that. What Schulz is trying to say here about Christianity is really plain and simple. It is, he's saying that Christianity is not a religion of words and of feelings, but is one of also action, and we must put it and make it a part of our life. And so, let me give you an example. And I know you're going to think this probably sounds silly because it would not happen here, but just entertain me for a moment. Say, for example, it's been raining a lot, and so we leave the building here this morning, and you leave to go to your car, and like I said, it's been raining, and so there's some slick spots in the parking lot, and so you find one of those slick spots, and you slip, and you fall down, and you bite the asphalt. You're laying there on the asphalt and hurt, and one of your brethren here comes up to you and say, "Oh, I saw you fall. I'm sorry. You doing okay?" And "I hate that you fell," and then they walk on to their car, get in their car, and drive off. Now, like I said, that's not going to happen here. I'm just using that as an illustration. What would you say? What would you think? Well, you'd think they're nuts. You would think, to say the least, their actions are not consistent with their words. You would think, well, you know, they really don't care. They came up, they saw me fall, they said, "Hey, are you okay? We saw you. I hate that you fell." But yet they did absolutely nothing to try to help out. And so you see where we're going with that. Jesus wants us to be a living, breathing, talking sermon. If you will, turn to Matthew chapter 25. What Jesus wants us to do is he wants us to take his word, he wants us to obey his word, but then he wants that to transform us from within. And that's exactly what it should do if we have the faith that we need to have. Here in Matthew chapter 25, is the judgment scene depicted. And I want to make it clear that this is not what it might be like. You know, it's not maybe going to be like this. It will be like this. Now, there's a lot of different scriptures throughout the Bible that talk about judgment day and how it's going to be. And so it's not just going to be like this. But Jesus is talking here, and he said this is how it's going to be on judgment day. And let's see what he says here. Starting with verse 31, he says, "But when the Son of Man comes in all of his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will be separate them from one another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right hand, and he'll put the goats on the left hand. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to see me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger, invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' And the king will answer and say to them, 'Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to the one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me.'" Now, I want us to notice the verbs, the action words here in this passage, because that's exactly what Jesus is trying to get us to look at. It says, you gave, you invited, you clothed, you visited, you came. And so Christianity is a religion of doing, of serving. Someone might say, "Well, I thought we're going to be judged by the words of Jesus." Yes, John 12:48 tells us that. Matthew 12 and verse 36 says we're going to be judged by the things that we say as well, but we're also going to be judged by those things that we do or those things that we neglect to do. And so here he's saying that we are to be a talking, walking, breathing sermon. It should be to where we don't have to say a whole lot, that we draw people to us by the things that we do. And certainly that's how Jesus was in his life. Jesus practiced what he preached. Peter in the book of Acts said that Jesus went about doing good. And so Jesus not only taught these things, but he also did those things in his life and in his ministry. One person rewrote Matthew chapter 25, and I'm going to read that. And I don't want you to think it's being disrespectful in any sense, because they're not. What they're trying to do is to get us to think about what Jesus is trying to get us to think here. He rewrote Matthew chapter 25 in this way. He says, "I was hungry, and you formed a small group to discuss my hunger. I was in prison, and you crept off quietly to your chapel and prayed for my release. I was naked, and you debated the morality of my appearance. I was sick, and you knelt and thanked God for your own health. I was homeless, and you preached to me about spiritual shelter. I was lonely, and you left me alone to be with your friends. you seem so close to God, but I'm still hungry, I'm still lonely, and I'm still homeless. What's he trying to get across to us there? To do, to work, to serve. The same thing that Jesus Christ is trying to get across to us here. And we need to be careful not to misunderstand this passage as the world sometimes does and say that, well, you know, if we do enough good deeds and enough works that we'll earn our way to heaven. Because I can see why someone who does not know the Bible very well could look at this passage and come to that conclusion. Because after all, you know, he says that those who do this are going to go to heaven, and those who do not do this, they're going to be condemned. But that's not at all what he's saying. He's not saying that we can work our way to heaven. In fact, do you realize that every religious group in this world teaches that you can do enough good deeds to work your way to heaven? Every religious group except for Christianity. Christianity does not teach that. However, what's he teaching here? When Jesus says, you know, if you do these things, then you're going to be in heaven, and you don't do these things, and you're going to be condemned. What exactly is Jesus teaching here? What is James teaching in James chapter 2 that when he says that if you have faith but you don't have works, then it's dead, it's no good. What exactly is he trying to get across? Well, here's the point, plain and simple, that if we are a child of God, if we are a Christian, if we are who we profess to be, then it will be seen in our life, that the world will recognize who we are by the life that we live. It's just that plain and simple. If you look at this passage, you can look at it like this. If I have the faith that I should, I will feed the hungry. It's because of my faith that I will provide shelter for those who need it. It's because I'm a Christian that I'm going to clothe the naked. It's because I'm a child of God that I'm going to care for the sick and for the imprisoned. In other words, good works are not the root of our salvation. They're the fruit. Now, I heard someone else say that, and I liked it a lot. Think about that. Now, let me say that again. Good works is not the root of our salvation, but it's the fruit of our salvation. And there is a difference. I'm not saved. I'm not a Christian because of the works that I do. But if I am a Christian, if I am a Christian, I will do good works. I will serve. Therefore, if I'm not serving, if I'm not busy, and I know if I'm not, I've got to ask myself, do I have the faith that I need to have? Is my faith where it should be? Am I the Christian that I should be? What do I do for the Lord? Do I come here and worship Him? That's great and that's biblical. But is that all I do? Jesus put it like this, if you want to look at Matthew chapter 7, starting with about 15 or 16. He said, grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And then here is his point. So then you will know them by their fruits. In other words, the faith, our faith is revealed by our actions. You know, shortly after Jesus was resurrected, Peter was, in a sense, in a spiritual decline, in a spiritual slump. After all, he had denied the Lord three times. He said, I'll never deny you. If everyone else does, I'm not going to, Lord, but yet he did. And he said, I'll never forsake you. If all else are made to stumble, Lord, I'm not going to, but yet he forsook the Lord. And so in his humiliation, he went back to doing the same thing that he used to do, and that's fishing. And in John chapter 21 is that passage where we see the risen Lord, Jesus Christ, coming to Peter and asking Peter the same question three different times. He asked Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter said, Lord, you know that I love you. And then Jesus replied, feed my sheep. And then he asked him a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Jesus said, or Peter said, you know that I love you, Lord. And Jesus replied, then feed my sheep. And for a third time he asked Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And by this point, Peter's very frustrated because he's asked him three times and he says, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, then feed my sheep. And what Jesus is trying to say to Peter is, Peter, if you love me like you say so, then I want to see it. I want you to show it. Peter, you said that you wouldn't deny me, but yet you denied me three times. Peter, you said that you wouldn't forsake me, but yet you forsook me. Peter, if you love me so much like you said that you do, show it by your actions. And so he's saying, Peter, in a sense, Peter, you are the sermon. It's not necessarily just the words that you say, the teaching that you have, but it's what you do. It's how you serve. It's how you live. And you know, brethren, that, he's saying the same thing to us. He's saying the same thing to Tanner. Tanner, you are the sermon. You know, it's not just about gathering here. It's not just about what you profess, that I am a Christian. It's not just about worshiping, but it's about doing. It's about serving. Check out this picture. How many of you have seen this? This is the Wendy's ad for the Baconator. That's awesome, isn't it? That's kind of cruel. Amen from Charles. That's kind of cruel putting that up there before lunch, I guess. You know, I could probably eat a couple of those. And when I was these kids' age, I could probably eat three or four of them. Someone said that that faith is kind of like calories in the Baconator. You can't see them, but you know they're there. And you can see the results, can't you? Why is everybody looking at me? I look like I've ate too many Baconators, I guess. You know, Jesus is saying the same thing about faith. In other words, we're not going to stand here and have maybe Christian tattooed on our head. We don't have to tell people that I am a Christian. They're going to see it by our way of life. And they're going to see the results just like they see the results. You're not going to hide the results of eating too many of these, I guarantee you. And if you have a true faith, brethren, if you truly are a Christian, you can't hide it. It's going to be seen in the results in your life. It's going to be seen in the fact that you're busy for the Lord and that you're serving Him and others in every chance that you have. There was a preacher in the North Alabama area in Florence that gave this illustration. I liked it a lot. He was talking about in the 1930s, there was a lot of people that walked to work back then because cars weren't as common back then as they are now. And there was this one man in particular that would walk to work every day. He had long hours, and so he would often come back after dark. And he knew the path very well because he walked it every day. And one day he walked to work. He had a long day, and nighttime had come. And so he started walking home, and he was tired, and so he decided to take a shortcut. And as he took a shortcut, he went through a cemetery. And unaware that there was a grave that had been dug that day, and so there was a fresh hole there, and he found that, and sure enough, fell in that, scared him half to death. And as you would imagine, he's clawing, he's scratching, he's trying to climb his way out, trying to jump his way out, and finally, after a while, he just gave out. And he's just sitting there trying to catch his breath. And about that time, there was a local farmer in the area who was out possum hunting. And he also, walking without a flashlight, been out possum hunting, walked through the cemetery unaware that this hole was there, and he too found the hole, fell in the hole, didn't know the other guy was in there because it was dark, and he didn't hit him, and so he had no idea he was in there. He fell in the hole, he's scratching, he's jumping, he's trying to climb his way out, and after just a little bit, the other guy that was in there just kind of tapped him on the shoulder and said, "You know you can't get out." He did. He got out. Actions speak louder than words. If we really want to do something, we'll do it. If we really want to serve the Lord, we will. There is no excuse. There's a story, and I believe this is a true story, of a bombing that happened in Germany during World War II. And there was a church building that got destroyed in that bombing. And after everything was done and all the destruction was over, the members of that congregation came and they were surveying the destruction and going through and trying to see the remains. And they came across a statue that was in their church building, a statue of Jesus. And the funny thing about it was complete and intact, completely, except for the hands of Jesus. That was the only thing missing, was the hands of Jesus. And there was a guy in town that did that kind of work and offered to fix that for free and put the hands back on Jesus. And so the leaders of that congregation got together and discussed it, and they came back to him and said, "No, we just want it the way it is, because that so beautifully illustrates where we are today. You know, we are supposed to be the hands of Jesus Christ. We are to be His feet. We are to be His mouth. If we have the faith, brethren, that we profess, it's going to be seen in our life. It's going to be seen in the service that we render." And so the question I simply want everyone to ask themselves this morning is, what do I do? It's that simple. What do I do? How do I serve? How do I serve the Lord? How do I serve those in my community and around me? How do I serve my brotherhood? How do I serve my congregation here at Tanner? Ask yourself that this morning. We have a lot of people here that serve very hard, and don't grow weary in well-doing. Keep on. But if you do not serve in any kind of way, we want to encourage you to do so. Get involved. Find you a ministry and get to working. If you don't know what to do and you say, well, you know, I want to do something, but I don't know, get with one of the elders, get with Charles or get with me, and I guarantee you we can find you something to do. But we need to do something. Invitation song will be led here in just a moment. And we sing that, and it is a tradition, but we don't sing it as a tradition. We sing it for us to think about our spiritual situation with God. And the reason is not for us to look around at everybody else and scratch our head and say, well, I wonder if so-and-so is going to respond. I wonder who needs to go forward. It's for us to look at ourselves, at our own life, at our own relationship with God. Are we His child? Are we faithful? And in particular this morning, I want us to ask, am I a working child of God? As the scripture was read this morning.